Hey, everybody. We're going to do something different tonight. I'm going to speak from the Bible. Yeah, taking a lot of offerings, done a lot of team meetings, but we're plunging into the deep tonight. Great theme. I love it, the theme on the tongue. Actually, does this work, Pastor Steve? If I write on this, does something happen? Not yet. Let me know when that dot appears. Okay. If you would turn to Psalm 42. Wow. It's nerve-wracking to be up here. Maybe we should have a prayer first. Let me just pull this together in Jesus' name for the body's sake. Thank you for bringing us here tonight and for the words that you have put in our mouths, Lord, because they're not ours, but they are yours, and that is such a great grace. So bless, we pray, and all those watching on the internet and who will listen to this, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Psalm 42, we're going to get there. That's going to be the main portion. But actually, I'm not going to start there, but that's where we're going to end up, so I'll have you turn there. Okay, so Pastor Schaller spoke this morning about the tongue of the learned, right? The tongue of the learned, Isaiah 50 and verses 4 and 5. And I just want to, while we are in Psalm 42, I just want to just give kind of an overview of that, those two verses, and see what's happening. Okay, the dot has arrived. Great. And to make okay, great. We'll erase that guy. Looks like that. Okay. So Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5 says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned." And he gave it for a purpose, right? He said, he gave me the tongue of the learned that, or for the result that, I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That when Jesus came, he was speaking words to those who were weary. And he said, you know, if you don't think you need a doctor, then I'm not talking to you. But if you know you do, I'm talking to you. If you're weary and you know you are, I'm talking to you. And his words were words of life and eternal life. So to speak a word in season to him who is weary, he waketh morning by morning. It means he gets up every morning. And then what does he do? Then he wakes my ear up. He awakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The learned is the same word as a disciple, one who learns. And actually the word disciple is like a scholar. Like our young people, when they, you know, they go to school, they are actually disciples. Mr. Jansen has disciples. Right? He's discipling them in biology. And they're learning a whole new vocabulary. A vocabulary much of which their parents don't even know. Long words. Complicated words. He is discipling them. And then they go to university, and the vocabulary gets much more refined. And, you know, my daughter is a scientist and works in a laboratory and writes reports and stuff. And when she speaks the language of her laboratory, none of the rest of the family knows what she's talking about because she's been discipled. She has a vocabulary that we don't know. It's designed for the people that work with her, you know. And they all talk their own language. So God does the same thing with us. We are disciples. We are learners. We are scholars of one thing. It's the thoughts of God. God speaks to us. He opens our ear. When we got saved, one of the things he did is he opened our eyes and then he opened our ears. And these are divine inputs. And the tongue is an output. It's not an input, but it's an output. So it's, I mean, actually, like Pastor Shaw said this morning, it becomes an input because we speak to ourselves, right? But, you know, when a child has a problem speaking, you know what they check? They don't check his tongue. They check his ears. Because a child who doesn't speak correctly, probably he has a hard time hearing correctly. And so it disturbs his speaking. And you can tell a believer who has a hard time with his tongue, it's probably because he has a hard time with his ears. It's what he's listening to. It's whose voice he's actually receiving from and saying, this voice is true. So God awakes our ear to hear like a disciple. And then the verse 5, it says, the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. So God has, we are believers, God has opened our ears. But there is an option that we have, and that is that we can turn the other way. You know how children are what do they call that? Selective hearers. That's like when you're telling them what to do, honestly, they can't hear you. Because they've already, it's like Charlie Brown, right? Wah, 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 wah. Your voice has become, they have selectively put your voice out. So they don't actually even hear you. Because they are rebellious and they turned away back. Oh no. So it's a great call to become a disciple, to become a learner. You know, 233 times the word disciples is used. Once in the Old Testament and 232 times in the New Testament. 257 times the singular. So disciples, plural, 233, 257, singular, disciple. So what's that? 490 times in the Bible, the word disciple, a learner. And all of them, for the most part, in the New Testament, because Jesus had disciples. And he gave this promise, and this is amazing. He gave a promise in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. He said, if you come unto me, you're heavy laden, you're burdened. Come unto me, you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he said, learn of me, become a disciple, and you're going to find out something about me that's not obvious, that nobody on the street knows, that you can only find out if you listen to me. You're going to find out that I'm not big, powerful, strong, angry, but I am meek and I'm humble. And when you find that out, it will do something to your soul. It will give a rest to your soul. And I believe that it's only someone who has a restful soul that can have a restful word to the weary. It doesn't happen just by accident. It happens by having an ear that is tuned to God's voice and someone who is studying to know God's mind. And it's not a proud thing, it's a very humble thing. It's like I'm in such deep, deep need to understand what's going on around here that I got no choice but to listen to God. Because, Lord, where are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. No one speaks to me like you speak to me. You speak to me with words that are edifying, that build me up. There's one thing that disciples learn and they are known by. You know what it is, right? It's love. Like you listen to Jesus' words and you listen to God's word, you read through the scripture. Many people, unsaved people, love the Bible because it's a great history book. It is the most accurate history book on the planet of ancient history. But they don't see what we see. They don't see that God is a God of love from cover to cover. But the disciple learns that. And when we learn that as a disciple, then it changes our vocabulary. And we start to have a vocabulary of love that's edifying one to another. And that is the phenomena inside the body of Christ, isn't it? We speak a different language. People come in here off the street, they don't know what we're talking about. What's that pastor talking about? I don't have any idea what he just said. Well, he's talking a different language. Just like my daughter speaks biology babble. We speak Bible babble. We speak the word of God. So now Psalm 42, a very simple illustration of this. Now, Hebrews 11:12 says that the word of God is quick and it's powerful. And it does something. It divides. And one thing it divides is it divides the soul from the spirit. And I want to just take a look at that. Okay, so on one side, I'm going to try to act like Pastor Schaller. So I'm left-handed, so that helps. Okay. The word of God, Hebrews 4:12, right, separates the soul from the spirit. We see in Psalm 42 that David, he has that separation has happened. Because he is addressing his soul. The spirit man is addressing the soul man. We see it like this. I hope this makes some sense. I haven't tried this out on my wife at all, so I have no idea how it's going to turn out. Mom might say, honey, what do you think about this? And she says, you better change that. Okay. First he says, well, let's just start with verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, this is a soul without the division, right? This is soul talking to soul. Look, I remember these things. I pour out my soul in me. And the Amplified says, I pour myself out in me. The soul is talking to the soul. But when the soul talks to the soul, there's no way out. There's no escape route. You're just stuck with your soul, your circumstances, and your soul's vocabulary, which who knows where you got it. We don't even remember where we got our vocabulary from, some of us. Who was it? My mother, my father, my uncle? I have no idea where it came from, but it's soul babble. So then we see what happens here. So I poured out my soul, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And then he begins now to address his soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him and for the help of his countenance. He's addressing his soul in the spirit. Right, the spirit man is like a person is single. They're 58 years old and single still. Well, how are you going to do with that? You know what it's like when your soul pours out inside of you. When you just speak to your soul, talks to your soul. All kinds of emotions could be there. Some glee and some depression, depends on who you are. But here we have the spirit man speaking to the soul. And he says, "Why? What's wrong with you? That's not what your life is about. I have words from heaven for you." So he says, "Why hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And then he addresses God directly. And this is so beautiful that we can be separated from our soul. We could like have an out-of-soul experience with God. And he says, come up hither. And we go and we commune with him in his throne room. And now he says, God, oh God, you know what? My soul is cast down in me. Isn't that awesome? He's talking to God about the condition of his soul. That's such release. That's such rest. That I can talk to God about the condition of my soul rather than talking to my soul about the condition of God. But where is God anyway? He's supposed to be fixing this. But then we are with God. God, my soul is very troubled. I mean, it's really trouble. I mean, it doesn't even sleep. I find myself praying in the middle of the night because my soul just won't sleep. I'm not talking about soul sleep like Jehovah's Witnesses, but... Okay, so final thoughts then about this. So the spirit then, when we have the mind of the tongue of the learned, we can speak to the soul. And also, we can speak. We have words. God gives us a language to be able to speak to him in his language, which means we have access to the throne because of the blood of Christ. I heard this one thing. It says, when Jesus died on the cross and he wrote the check that paid for every man's sin, and when he rose from the dead, the check cleared. That's a good thought. Anyway. So Jesus says, come and learn of me, and I'll give rest to your soul. But then when you have rest for your soul, you know what you're going to be able to do? Speak to somebody else, and you're going to give rest to their soul. You will have a word for the weary, for the faint-hearted, for the ones who need encouragement, and it will come from God. And the reason that we'll have it is because we have a language of love, because we have disciples. We have learned of him. It's not what he appears to be from the outside. He is so beautiful, and we love our Savior. So we are disciples. We have been loved. He said, you will love each other the way I have loved you. And then he said, they will know you are my disciples because you love one another. That's the language we speak. So, praise God. Let's pray. So, Father, just amazing that we can have your language. Lord, that we can know your thoughts. Lord, that you would open our ears and that you would speak to us and that these words would divide us into a spirit man who has a living relationship with you, that despite all that's going on, we have an escape. We have an escape right directly to your throne room, and there we find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. And we can give that one to another. We thank you, Father, for that privilege. Because no one has it. No one has it. But you've given it to your people. We thank you. Amen. Oh, you know, one more thought. Wait. Just best shall be. Just rob a couple more minutes. You know, it's I can't remember the source of this. You can check it out. Do some Google. You could do a Google search right now, actually, instead of texting. But a psychologist said 85% of physical illnesses are psychosomatic. They are problems that we have because of what's shutting down in our bodies because of our soul, because of our psychology. Okay, and he said, if someone could find a pill that would take away guilt, 85% of man's diseases would be healed. This is what secular psychology is looking for, some way to take away guilt. Isn't that amazing? And yet they would say that Jesus, you know, it's so abstract. Jesus is so abstract. Christianity, you know, it's one of those old religions. Well, the more the psychologists study, the more it just zeroes in on one need. We need someone to take away sin. Could somebody find a pill? How about a Savior? Amen. Okay, anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Bless these thoughts to us. Thank you for that, this day, and those that are living in the faith, instructed in the spirit life, counseled by your spirit. We need you every hour, Lord, every hour we trust you. for this wisdom that is from above, which we heard about, and for our new tongue, the tongue of the learned, our new vocabulary, our new decisions, our walk of grace by faith. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 3. This is part 2 on the tongue, which I enjoyed this morning's message very much because we realize how important it is what can happen with our tongue and how we have been hurt by the tongues of people. And we have also been very much encouraged by and loved by the tongues of people. And then also by the spiritual tongue. And for many of us being in the church, we found that our life was radically affected by listening to the word, the holding forth the word of life. I cannot help but think that, or to share with you that I'm thinking a lot about our politics and the Supreme Court decision and our culture of the day. And I am very curious to know what leaders are saying in our country regarding these things. I realize that a judge in some circuit court somewhere or some local judge, when somebody comes to get married, a same-sex couple, he has the obligation to marry them. And I heard that there was a Christian judge who said, I cannot do that. And so he loses his job. I wonder what will happen as a result of this decision and also the direction of the whole culture. Are we out of our minds, or are we understanding what Pastor Brian said? I thought he said it so well, that we are spirit taught. I like this diagram, the soul and spirit. And in his Psalm 42, the spirit speaking to his own soul. Well, where did the spirit get the authority? By the new birth. What authority is it? It is Christ's mind, Christ's spirit. Why is the same-sex thing such an issue to us? Because we see in that issue a fundamental understanding about the Bible, about nature, about our history, about the wisdom of our leaders in the past, where they never tolerated sodomy. In the ancient world, the Orthodox Jews were abhorred by it, even to the point of not even talking about it. There were definite distinctions. It was discussed. It was understood. It was practiced. Nothing new here. It is not new. Homosexuality is not a new thing. And the conviction of our society about it is changed. And this is where I think the Spirit of God and the counsel of God in the church, where is the church on the issue? Well, I was told, and I'm like learning more, and Pastor Steve is a great reference for me because he'll look up and study anything I ask him to. Give him a hand. Let's take a door offering at the end of the service for Pastor Steve. And Jean Marie, they can go have pizza at Papa John's. And have oily pools of deliciousness, or what is it? Pools of oily deliciousness, they call it. Okay. And what am I saying? A mega church pastor, asked on the issue, said, I don't talk about it. I don't talk about it. Well, what are you doing then? It's not a matter of my opinion. It is a matter of, like in our diagram here, what does the Holy Spirit say? And it's not just that sin. How about the lack of love? What does the Holy Spirit say to the church about love? What does the Spirit say to us about the gospel? What does the Spirit say to the United States of America and everybody here about God's nature, God's love, about spiritual hunger, about desire, about doing the right thing? How awesome it is to be a holy person. Holiness, this is our joy. Holiness, where our joy comes from. Now, isn't it, we are the end of July. No, I'm sorry, beginning of August. We are the beginning of August. How did this happen? We are the beginning of August. What happened? I thought convention was coming. I thought graduation was coming. What happened? Eurocon happened. I mean, I was just getting a Christmas present for my lovely wife the other day. But it's back in December. Well, we have the women's seminar. We have the harvest night. We have the Thanksgiving. Then we have Christmas coming. Then we're going to go into Eurocon and so on in a convention again. And what year will that be? 2016. Then another winter and summer. Winter and summer, winter and summer. What year will that be? 2020. What? Well, how many of us will be in prison by that time? How many of us will lose our tax-exempt status? How many of us will lose our insurance, or an insurance company will not touch us? And how many of us will get in trouble because of our Christianity? Wow. Well, many times we visit other countries and we hear the Christians are persecuted, whether that is in Pakistan, whether that is in the Middle East, Uzbekistan. We still do not have legal right to gather in Uzbekistan, even though we've been there since 1991. And we have tried and tried and tried, but that's okay. They are persecuted. In Turkmenistan, they had a Bible study. The KGB planned to be there. On the way, the pastor's van broke down. The KGB went to the meeting. They waited there an hour or so. They left. Finally, the pastor came putting in, rolling in perfect timing. Well, our brothers and sisters are facing it. Why couldn't we? We've had a couple years of reprieve. We've had a couple hundred years of awesome freedom with passports and telephones and gathering places and Bible schools and so on. But oh, I wonder. I do not know. But I think it is crazy. It is insane. No, it is demonic. It is weird. It is unbelievable that this is the case. But take heart. Okay, that's the way it is. How about us? This is important. The tongue of the learned. The tongue of the educated people, the tongue of being spirit taught, the tongue where Bible verses are just part of our inner consciousness,
Bible stories, biographies, where body life is part of my life, for the Spirit has taught us body life, the gospel, to love each other. I think sometimes in our soul, I'll put down here, we are socially misfits. I don't like to be with people. Some person could say, I don't want to be there. The Spirit says, you have to be there. And I say, I don't want to be there. The Spirit says, go to the cross. I put you in the body. But nobody likes me there. Tough. I will visit you there. I will be with you there. I will anoint you there. I will teach you doctrine there. I will build you up and you'll grow out of your victimhood and become a servant and a scholar, a spiritually deep, developed, growing, built up, edified believer. And I say, okay. But I'm telling you, God, nobody likes me there in that church, and I don't like to talk to anybody. And nobody likes to talk to me. And the Lord says, yeah, get in there. Get in there and sit down. And get humble. And grow up. And be anointed of God. And put your mind and your heart on me. And forget about your little stuff as a child, as a baby, as a, you know what I'm saying. Okay. So, I had to say that. Isn't that interesting? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to the church in this country. I don't know. How will we make it? How will we ever, how will we handle it? How will we make it? How will we not have, won't we go with the current? Won't our children and grandchildren, won't the whole thing go the way the world is going? There'll be no difference between us and the people that are in the world. The same adultery, same lying, same cheating, same homosexuality, same deceitful heart, same tongue. Wouldn't it be the same? I don't know. The Apostle Paul died alone. All have forsaken me. Demas has forsaken me. Actually, I stand corrected. Luke is with me. Send John Mark. Bring the cloak, especially the parchments. But at my first answer in the court, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. Well, hey, long before we end up in a jail cell, let us practice that today. That the Lord would stand with me and strengthen me, as Pastor Brian said, in the spirit man. Have you had that lately? For the Spirit gave you the counsel. Look at chapter 3. And, you know, the morning message, we had the, I'm not sure if, we had the bird. You see that up on the screen. Taming the lion, right? We had two of those. Taming the fish. Man can, in this portion, chapter 3, verse 7. Every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Just corner it, and it'll strike out. I heard that a rattlesnake, you could corner a rattlesnake, and it can get so mad it'll bite itself. reminds me of how we can be as people. You know, you get us angry enough and we'll bite. If we get resentments in our heart, we'll not give them up. When we are in competition, we'll make up a lie. When we are in trouble, we just cave. We have an amazing psychological need as people. But isn't the church the place where we learn there is power to have power over our tongue? We said this morning, and I got it right here from this little book here. I'll read it to you. About this rope on the sail, there where you have the tension on the sail in a sailboat. And because I can feel the tension with a sail, I can feel it. And it says here, the genitive is dependent on the word bits. It's for the bit, the bridle or the bit, the bridle on a horse or the bit. You know, that piece of metal that goes in the mouth of the tender mouth of the horse where you can pull the horse around by its mouth. Well, the word is also used, the same word for that bit, for a particular type of rope connected with the ship's, the sails of a ship. Okay, so why I like that is because I can feel with my tongue the tension. Say it. No, I can't say that. Yes, say it. No, I can't. I don't want to say that. That's not, I'm not going to say it. I am with the bridle on a horse or the rope on a sail, you can feel the tension and you actually have control. And the same thing with the tongue. But a man cannot tame his tongue. It is too easy to say the wrong thing. It's too easy to misrepresent something. It's too easy to be afraid and cave. It's too easy to exaggerate. It's too easy to say a half-truth. But I say, wait, like as we heard, let's go through it now. Chapter 3, verse 9. Therewith bless we God, for even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. What do you mean, Lord? He said, how can you bless me one minute and then curse in the next? Well, Lord, because one minute things were going great and the next minute they weren't. That's obvious to me, Lord. That's why. And the Lord is saying, there's a deeper fountain, deeper source, not what is happening, but my spirit, my mind, my way of thinking, your walk of faith, my anointing. I can anoint you, so yes, you have sorrow, as Pastor Brian said. My soul, why are you cast down? I see that you are cast down. But I know I have God's mind. I don't understand. I know you are feeling like this, but come on. I know there is the deeper reality is saying, come on. Let's live in faith. Let's go. Let us sing. Let us praise. Let us be quiet. Let us trust. Let us not complain. Let us not spread the misery around by my tongue. Verse 11. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Here it is. This is the part that often we think and relate to this, and it is, where is the wise man? Where is the message that is deeper? We had the message on the house of mourning is better than the house of feasting. If you heard that message, that was an amazing message. House of mourning is better than the house of feasting. Many messages, and to have our ear in tune with the church in the United States of America, where I hear words of wisdom from men of God that are saying, no, we are not going to bow. No, I do not accept it. No, I do not believe in that. No, I will not teach that. No, I do not accept it. No, I cannot see it. I do not understand it. I do not believe in it. It is not part of my faith. I cannot accept it. Where is that coming from? That is verse 13. Who is the wise man? And I mean God's men, whoever they may be. Down through history, we see them as shining stars, men of God, men like Huss and Luther and D.L. Moody and Spurgeon and Augustine and Chrysostom and Polycarp, and these men that had wisdom that was from another source. Wow. Verse 13. Let them show him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness is meaning I am surrendering my rights to myself, kind of like we said in this particular way here. I don't feel so comfortable there. Well, if you are meek, you surrender the right. You surrender your rights to yourself. And you say, what is God saying? God is saying, fellowship in the body. Draw near. Live in faith. Love the brethren. Be spirit-filled. Forget yourself. That's meekness. But I have seen many times through the years, there is not that meekness of wisdom. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, a woman was involved in an automobile accident. I hope this is good to hear this. I like the story. She broke her neck and was paralyzed in the lower part, and she was in a wheelchair, and she met the whole tragedy in a spirit of faith, confidence, and goodwill. She was radiant. At the table in the institution where she stays, she presides as a queen, even as she is in a wheelchair. Depressed patients are assigned to her table so that her very presence may cheer them up. She is on top of her circumstances. But her husband reacted differently. He was unhurt in the accident, except in his soul. He became embittered, held resentments against the man who was driving. Resentments have spoiled his life. One tragedy occurred to both. They reacted differently. One emerged with a broken neck, but her spirit was intact. The other one had a healthy body, but his soul was broken. Resentments broke him. Why? I understand. We all can imagine. There is something about wisdom and meekness when we say, God, I could be bitter. Look at verse 14. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, God knows how easy that is. How easy it is for me to be bitter over something that happened to me. How easy it is for me to be upset about something that was unfair or was not right or something that happened that I cannot explain. Well, it happens to our sisters and brothers all the time. But it says, this wisdom, verse 15, descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. You see, there is so much talking with my tongue out of a bitter or envious or disturbed heart, hours and hours, and it goes on. And I need, and it goes on, and there it is. A lot of talking that is based on the wisdom that is below. And the Lord is saying to us, be very careful about this. I need you to be meek. I need you to listen to me, care about my things, what I have to say, how I am doing it, what I am doing in the world, the message that I have. Be very careful about your hurt, pain, your trouble that we just have easily and generally in life. The wisdom that is from above. Doesn't it relate to what Pastor Brian was saying about this? Just, it's the same thing. Oh, my soul, right? The soul. Oh, my soul. Why are you so troubled and cast down? How could this be? The Holy Spirit must be the one. The doctrine must be the counselor. But more than the letter of the word, it must be the life of the word, the spirit of the word, the word, the spirit of the word that counsels us in that wisdom that is from above. Look at verse 16. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Wow. How much talk out of envying and strife, and on it goes, and then there's the confusion and the evil work. I've been in it. I have seen it. I have seen it happen. Through the years, it happens in my own heart, like Psalm 42. We know what it is. And I say, oh, this is not the Holy Spirit just now. This is not the Holy Spirit just now. I know this is not the Holy Spirit. This is confusion. And it goes on. I've been in church meetings where I've seen it happen. I've been in fellowship times where I've seen the taste of it. I've seen it go on. I've been on the phone for, maybe it has been 1,000 hours trying to resolve things that seem to be unresolvable. I don't know how to explain it. It's just part of life. And I remember Pastor Brian said to me one time, when somebody gets a divorce, I have never seen somebody get a divorce, take the divorce paper, run out of the courthouse or out of the place saying, I got it, I got it, I won, I got the divorce, I made it, I got it, I succeeded. No. It's just a sad day. Maybe they're happy they got the paper, but nobody wins. They don't win. The divorcee doesn't win. The children don't win. Nobody wins. You got a piece of paper. You're divorced now. What other confusion is going to come in? What other pain is going to be there? How many more troubles and problems are going to evolve? How much more difficulty and complexity is going to now surface? What's going to happen now? I don't know. I'm just trying to say. There are things you open the door, and the door opens up to 5 more doors, and those doors open up to 50 doors and 5,000 doors. That's the wisdom that is below. That's the wisdom below. That's the wisdom that is below. Same with this court ruling. What, you think that everybody is happy about it? That it's solving national problems? What, you think that's going to be the end of the matter? It is only beginning. It is going on and on and on with confusion and every evil work, for this is wisdom that is below, that is also in my soul too, in Psalm 42. I know what it is. I know what that is. I know what it is. You know what it is. Have you ever had a discussion with somebody, no resolution, you talk for 1 or 2 hours or 5 and you go out the door and nothing is resolved? Has that ever happened? Yes. There is another way. Let's read it, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. You want to hear it? Homosexuality is a sin. It is not anybody's benefit. It is destructive. It hurts the individual. You might say, have compassion on the homosexual. That is compassion. That is compassion. You might say, love them. I do love them. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling them the truth. I do love them. What are we talking about? We do love them. That is wisdom that is from above, sent his only begotten Son for them and us. We are the same. That is wisdom that is from above. Is the church saying it? Will the church say it? Give me the name of the pastor that is saying it, and he is on my side. I am on his side. We are on the Lord's side. We are on the side of the Holy Spirit. We are in the sight of God's grace and God's gospel and God's message. That's the way it is. But we don't go there. We're not talking about it. We don't want to lose people. Well, yeah, I hope you will lose the good people then. Because the good people should pack up and walk out of that church unless it's clear. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about drug addiction, lying, swearing, adultery, fornication, the whole thing, you know. Right? Okay, verse 17. Well, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Have you heard the purity? Have you sensed the purity? Have you embraced the purity? Or are you too complicated? It's too, you're too sentimental. Or there's something else there about that. You don't want it. Well, then that's your business, not mine. This is what it's saying. Verse 17, it is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. We are good listeners. We are caring. We are getting on our knees. We are listening before God. We are listening for each other with a lot of mercy and a lot of care for each other and good fruits, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Doesn't matter what your name is, there are no favors here. Doesn't matter what your position is, there's no partiality. Everybody, we are all on equal ground before wisdom. And when wisdom speaks, then there is authority in it and it goes to our heart. And with meekness of wisdom, we receive it and we benefit from it. Let's say this in closing. Maybe this will result in a revival. Maybe the believers will wake up and say, wow, this is a lot more serious than I thought. I better get myself to the church. What church will I go to? Or somebody might say, what? Is there something else being said? And they say, yes. Go get your Bible. Buy a Bible. Humble yourself before God. God will visit you. God will speak to you. God will save you. God will satisfy you. God will give you something that you never had before. You have the wisdom that is from above. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. There it is. We meet here every day, and the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We are peaceful people. We're not looking for a war. We are looking for truth. We are a gracious people. We are an edifying people. We are a satisfied people. We have found peace, and we sow in righteousness. Well, that's what I wanted to say. I don't know. I just think that we are in amazing times. I am very concerned about what is happening, and I want to believe that many believers around the world and in this country, and we pray, we ask for people in other parts of the world to pray for us. And God, help us. And if I lose my job, I lose my job, but I will have God as the source of my life. I like to say that as a preacher, but I also want to live it in my heart. I remember in Hungary a couple of years ago, a bookkeeper said, I cannot cheat. I lost my job. And my boss said I had to keep two books, one book for the government, one book for the reality. And I couldn't do it. And then I got another job, and I lost that job too because I could not cheat. And we say, well, God bless you. Maybe you have to change your profession. And maybe that's good. God is with you. If God is with you, God is with you. If God is with you, God is with you. If there are places to say, this is where I stand, this is what I believe, then let us be salt and light in a dark world, because I got an idea that things aren't going to get better that way, but things could get real good this way. What I mean is, might be trouble this way, but it might be revival this way. It might be God is saying, come on, I need you to wake up, I need you to walk with me, and I will be very good to you. I will take care of you. I will anoint you. I will bless you. You may lose something, But what you lose can never compare to what you will gain. Your character, your conviction, your message, your testimony, your words of life. Okay? That's what I think. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for this day today and this church and the things we're speaking about, for our sisters and brothers in this country to be spirit taught and have some fiber in their soul and their conversations. would be different because of this Spirit-taught life. If you're here and you don't have Christ tonight, you must be born again. Please, you must come to Christ. As you are on the internet, please say to Christ, I believe in you. Say that. I believe in Jesus. I come to you and save me. Take all my sin away and give me this gift of eternal life. Oh, this is an important part of the service tonight. A salvation call. Please come to Christ. Please come now. Come to Him by faith and say, I believe. Raise your hand here in the auditorium, anyone at all. Raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone, raise your hand. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.